are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Good morning, church. Because you're the church, we're the church. We get to do this together. If you're new here, welcome. Somebody already told you, you know, stop at the connection corner. We'd love to chat with you. If you don't have a Bible, we want to put one in your hands. We want to get you one so you can stop there and grab that as well. Because we're going to spend some time in God's Word today as we connect the dots on kind of the story of our life and God's story and how he wants us to live for him. So if you brought a Bible with you, we're going to go to Luke chapter 8 is where we're going to be today. And before we get into Luke chapter 8, and you stick your finger there for a minute, I want to read a passage of scripture that's probably going to serve us throughout this entire series. The series is called Three Stories. Today, I'm going to talk about two stories, and we'll talk about that third story next week. But this verse that I'm going to read first kind of sets the scene and sets the tone for this series. It comes out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, 3:15. But in your hearts, revere, or other versions say, set apart Christ as Lord. We're going to pause there for just a second. That's what we do here every week. We take a time out of our week. We carve out time in our schedules. We show up here and we set apart Christ as Lord. Hudson, who just got married a couple weeks ago, comes up here. He leads the team and the band. We sing songs. We give our praises to God. We set apart ourselves for him for this hour. The hope is that it's not just for an hour and 15, sometimes an hour and 20 in the week. Hopefully it's not just for that period of time. Hopefully it's something that we're doing as a lifestyle, that we're setting apart Christ as Lord. We talked about this idea last week of us being a bondservant to God, for us to serve him, and not because we have to, but because we want to, that we surrender to his authority. But this text isn't talking about doing that just once. It's talking about doing that as a lifestyle. But then the text goes on and says that if we do that, then set apart Christ as Lord, and goes on, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. The thought is this, that if we will set apart Christ as Lord in our lives, if we will look different than the world, if we will act different than the world, if we respond to crisis and tragedy and financial hardship, if we respond to those things differently than the world responds to them, if we act different in times of upheaval than everyone else is acting, if we, hang on, comment differently than other people comment, if we speak online differently than other people do, eventually someone will ask. And we need to then be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. The inverse is true. If we don't act different, no one's going to ask. They will just assume that we are no different. Baked into this is really the thought behind this series, where we talk all the time here at Mission Point about showing and sharing the love of Jesus. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Because if we just set apart Christ as Lord here and then don't act any different outside, we're not showing and sharing the love of Jesus. We just do that here to one another. So the thought is, and I'm going to throw out a word, and for some of you, you're like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about that word. Others of you are like, yeah, it's about time, right on. The word is evangelism. Evangelism, what is it? It is it's the big churchy word that we use sometimes to describe showing and sharing the love of Jesus. And baked into this verse is this thought of eventually we set apart Christ as Lord. We get the opportunity to share the love of Jesus. So how do we do that? Three stories. Part one, Open up your Bibles. We're going to dig into Luke chapter 8. We're going to start here at Luke chapter 8, verse 26. It starts with this. They sailed to the regions of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. If you don't know that address, totally fine. You just need to know it's east of Columbia City. Middle East, like way east to Columbia City, right? Jesus, who's they? Jesus and his disciples are in a boat. What took place right before this, Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. It gets to be late in the day, and Jesus seemingly, randomly says to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. There seems to be no reason in the text. It's in multiple gospels. There seems to be no reason. It seems like Jesus is like, road trip, right? Who brought snacks? Let's go to the other side of the lake, right? They weren't water skiing, so we know it wasn't that. It was late at night. So Jesus just seemingly says, let's go to the other side of the lake. So that's the context for the story. Jesus had said, let's go over there. So they sailed there to the regions of the Gerasenes, which was across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. Everybody repeat this. Dun, dun, dun. Right? So this is this isn't literature. This is a real story that happened. We get real locations and real places. But this is great storytelling, right? It's like, oh, they went across the lake and Jesus was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. Thank you. Several of you got that. Several of you didn't. Okay. All right. Now, this guy, the text goes on to paint the full picture. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. Dun, dun, dun. Jesus steps onto the shore to this place where only he was the only one who said, hey, let's go over there. And the first person he meets is a naked guy who's all alone who lives in a cemetery. That's a great start to a story, right? It's really interesting. And part of me wants to just stop here and say, come back next week. we're going to get through the whole story, but I need to stop here for just a second. Why would a character like this exist in the Bible? Why do we get one of these stories? What is about ready to take place? Because this isn't ordinary. This isn't somebody you normally run into. This isn't like you tell your wife, you know, hey, I'm going to run to CVS, and you come home. She's like, hey, how'd it go? You don't generally end with, well, there was a naked guy there all by himself and whose address is, you know, at the cemetery. Like, this doesn't happen. And yet in our culture, and here's the challenge and here's the thought, in our culture, who are those people? Don't say their names out loud. But in our culture, who are those people? Who are those people in our culture that we would describe as, yeah, they're a few fries short of a happy meal. You know, the fruit isn't really ripe. You know, like who are those people in our culture that we tend to stray away from? That we tend to, when somebody says, describes them, we go, because they're around us. They're here everywhere. And when I say everywhere, we're here too. See, here's the thing. Everyone has a story. Everyone. We all have stories. This guy in the graveyard, at some point in his life, somebody stood here like this, watching that little boy take his first steps. Same guy. Somebody watched him going, oh, here he comes. Oh, look, oh, yeah. Somebody held that little boy at some point. It was like, oh, look at this one. Somebody did that to him. Somebody was proud of him. Somebody was excited. But this guy? No. No, his introduction in the Bible This is his introduction in the Bible. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes, lived in a house, but lived in the tombs. That's his introduction. But that's not who he is. He has a story that's bigger than that. If some of you think that your story is the headline of what you did, the reason you got kicked out of college, the reason why your first marriage failed, the reason why you lost your job, if you think that's your story, I've got good news for you. Your story is bigger than that. Let's keep reading. When he saw Jesus, when this guy saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice. I think this is interesting. He shouts at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me." Why is he yelling? Does he think Jesus has a hearing deficiency? Why is he yelling? This guy, clearly, he is off the social spectrum, right? He is like he doesn't get it. Jesus doesn't have a hearing problem. Jesus is there with his disciples standing right in front of him, and he's yelling. Here's my thought on this. I think we live in a world and a culture where people all around us every day are yelling and screaming that they need help. And I have gotten so used to seeing so many of them and hearing them that I don't even hear it anymore. We have to be careful that we don't fly so fast and so high that we miss the people where we live, learn, work, and play who are screaming that they need help. This guy stands in front of Jesus and he yells. He was like, "Please, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Now we got to pause here for just a second. This is a story that includes demon possession. Now I'm not camping out on the demon possession part of the story. You can dig into that on your own. That's not the central theme of what we're talking about today. But that's what this story is about, is this guy who was demon possessed. And we're going to learn like how big this was, how big of a deal. And it was real. But I want you to know, like, I'm aware of that. I know that. We're just not camping out on that this morning. But it is a part of the story. He's possessed by demons, and Jesus had commanded these demons at that point to come out of him, and so they are afraid. They're terrified. Many times, these demons, here's what they had done. It had seized him, and even though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had actually broken the chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Here's the thing. The enemy wants to drive us to places where we're alone. The enemy wants to drive us to places where we think we're alone. But what I love about this story is Jesus knew that. And Jesus' radar was up. He had really good radar. And he's like, there's somebody over there, and we need to go find him. We need to go talk to him. Don't turn the slide yet, because this is my favorite part. So the scene is set. Naked guy standing in front of Jesus, yelling at him. Jesus has commanded the demons to come out. I would love to know what the disciples were doing at this point, because they had come across the lake, like, road trip. Yeah, right? Somebody brought snacks. They wake up in the morning. They're on the lake. Naked guy, Jesus, he's yelling. I wonder what the disciples were doing at that moment, right? Like, I just pictured the 12 of them just huddled like this. When I was like, hey, Jesus did that water to wine thing. You think you can make that guy some clothes? Like, you know what? Like, what? Like, what are they thinking? What's going through their mind in that moment? Because they don't say a word. We don't get anything in the text what they were doing. But it's very clear what Jesus does. That's why I had them hold this off, because I wanted you to see it. It's very clear what Jesus does. Jesus, all God, all man, but all God, all authority in heaven on Jesus. He could have in that moment said, I need you to get who I am. Let me tell you my story. Let me tell you. Da, da, da. Here's what Jesus does. It's so simple. Jesus walked up to him and says, what's your name? What? That's all he says? Jesus goes, what's your name? Disciples. Jesus, you're curious about his name, but you didn't say anything about the fact that he's naked. Jesus, are we going to talk about the fact that he's living in a cemetery? Jesus, are we going to talk about the fact that he's out here all alone? The fact that, Jesus, are we going to talk about any of that? Jesus just leads with this simple thing. Hey, what's your name? We don't get tone in scripture. That's sometimes where I think there's this mystery of God's word in scripture. We don't know the tone. Did Jesus, like, you know, I picture the sarcastic version of Jesus. He's yelling at Jesus. I picture Jesus going, what's your name? Right? Is he yelling back at him? Is he just like, hey man, what's your name? You know, how did he approach him? We don't know. But we know what all he said to him was, what's your name? Or a version of that, hey man, what's your story? What's going on? I think sometimes we make it way too complex. Jesus walks up to the naked guy who's all alone in the graveyard and said, hey, what's your name? Treats him like a normal human being, although he is not acting like a normal human being. I heard this story this week of the power of a question. Little girl, she was about 4 years old, was in a grocery cart. Her mom's pushing her through the grocery store. This little girl's talking to people, and this little girl sees this old guy, an older gentleman, walking through the grocery store by himself. The mom's just pushing her cart, minding her own business. The little girl looks at this older guy and goes, hi, do you want a hug? Little four-year-old girl, right? The mom just kind of looks at her and looks at him awkwardly, right? This guy starts to tear up. And he looks at the mom and he said, is it okay if I give her a hug? And the mom's like, yeah, that's, I mean, it's kind of her little thing. It's what she does. But yeah, we don't know you, but sure. And the guy just starts to bawl. And he tells the mom, he said, I don't think you understand. He said, my wife died 4 months ago. We'd been married 50 some years. He said, I miss her terribly. And I don't know that I've had a hug in a couple months. And your little girl just made my day. I've been depressed. I don't know what to do. And that began a friendship between this man and this family. And they invited him to her preschool grandparents' day, and then to her preschool graduation, and then to her elementary school show and tell. And then he started having lunch with her every day, or once, not every day, every week when she was in elementary school. And eventually he developed a terminal illness. And the story was this news guy had caught up with this family, and this little girl was attending his funeral. And they talked about how they were almost inseparable the last year of his life. All because this little girl had her radar up, sees a guy somehow in a grocery store. It's like, hey, want a hug? Not knowing the implications of that one little question. Not saying we should walk through Kroger and ask people to give hugs. That's not where this is going, okay? But Jesus just looks at this guy, doesn't know. Like, we're not going to talk about all this other stuff. What's your name? He tells him, Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. The trick here is he said, what's your name? He said, Legion. Legion wasn't his name. Legion was a reference to a number. The number was over 600. It was this military number. It would have been that these demons are speaking out saying, hey, buddy, you need to back off because there's a lot of us that have inhabited this guy. So there's a lot of demons inside. He's got a lot of stuff. So you should probably keep your distance. The demons kind of did, but they really didn't know who they were talking to. They turn it and they go, hey, just whatever you do, if you are that, if you are the Son of God and you have that power, just please, just take it easy on us. Don't send us into the abyss. A large herd of pigs, again, the story takes on this interesting new life. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. I just wonder if Jesus is like, okay, yeah, no, I won't send you into the abyss. Hey guys, see those pigs over there? Watch this. Right? Jesus sends the demons into these unclean, to the Jews these unclean animals, these pigs. A herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus, all right, just let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. The demons came out of the man. They went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake, and they were drowned. This is almost as crazy as the naked guy in the graveyard. Like, now pigs, demon-possessed pigs, running off of a cliff. There's so many, like, things in this, but here's what I want us to recognize. When Jesus shows up on the scene, he's got all the power, all the cards. He can do whatever he wants. Here's what's super cool. When we accept Christ into our lives, right? As little kids, we ask kids, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? And it's their, you know, it's their, our way of helping them understand that Jesus wants to be inside you and indwell you, right? In the Old Testament, Jesus lived, you know, on the mountain. And then we gave him the tabernacle and a traveling, you know, tent. And then we, you know, bound him to a temple. And then in the New Testament, Jesus comes in and he says, you are the temple. You are the body. You now carry my spirit everywhere you go. So where we go, if Jesus lives in us, where we go, his authority and power also goes, and we take that with us. Let's never forget that. We carry him around with us. It's his power that does the work, but he goes everywhere we go, where we live, learn, work, and play. He goes. It was his power that sent the pigs over the cliff. It was his power that helped this guy out. Christ alone has the power to set captives free. His victory on the cross is what changes things. Let's never forget that. See, the chains couldn't hold this guy, right? Those chains couldn't hold him. There was crazy power. But Jesus possesses the power to change those stories. He possesses the power to change our stories. Let's keep going. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and they reported this in town and all over the countryside. And then it's what happens in Warsaw when there's a car accident. People come out of their houses. Everybody goes to look. Even before the cops are there, people are watching. Gary Nieder's taking pictures. Like, everybody shows up, right, to the scene, to the accident. The people go out to see what had happened, because pigs going off a cliff, that didn't happen every day. Right? Imagine being those people eating breakfast on the beach that day. We're like, oh, sweetie, this is so great. We've got breakfast on the beach. You got a little fire. That's awesome. What is that sound? Ah, pigs careening off of the cliff, like messing up your breakfast. I just picture that scene, right? This doesn't happen every day, not normal. When they went out to see what had happened, when they came to Jesus now, they see Jesus. Here's what they saw. They found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus's feet, dressed in his right mind. How awesome is that? That's the power that Jesus possesses. That's the power that we carry in us as we walk around. That's who lives in us. He has the power to do that. Here's the crazy part of the story. When the people saw Jesus there and the man sitting dressed and in his right mind, the text says, and they were afraid. Time out. Were they not afraid of the naked guy living by himself in the cemetery? And now they're afraid of the guy dressed in his right mind? Does that seem odd to anyone else but me? I wonder if we do the same thing. I wonder if dysfunction and crazy and people being off and people doing weird things and people not surrendering to God and following God and doing what God asks, I wonder if it has become so normal to us that we just aren't even bothered by it anymore. Are we just blind to it? Have we just accepted, well, that's the way it's going to be? Yeah, oh yeah, crazy people, weird people, naked people, like, hey, this is, I'm just going to stay in my own lane doing my own thing. Like, I'm sure they have a story, but I'm just going to stay out of it. Because now they show up, they see this guy standing there in his right mind, and they realize, oh, it was possible for this guy's story to be turned around. Maybe they're afraid. lots of reasons they could have been afraid. They're afraid because Jesus is there, and they're afraid, Jesus, well, if he can see his stuff and fix his stuff, oh, maybe he can see my stuff. I don't want him to see all my stuff and know what I've done. I'm not ready for my stuff to be taken on. Let's be careful that we don't acclimate to the world, that we get so, look so much like the world that we're afraid of associating with Jesus. Let's not look so much like the world and be so drawn to acceptance and being like everyone else that we're afraid to be with Jesus. Because they were terrified. Those who had seen it then, they told people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. And then all the people in the region of the Gerasenes, look at this, they asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. Here's what's crazy, and this will mess with our theology, and I can't even, like, please don't meet me up here after the service and, like, have me try to solve this for you, because I can't today or next week. I can't figure this out. Because this is tricky. This is going to mess with you a little bit, because we read stories about Jesus leaves the 99 to follow the one, right? Like, Jesus chases us down, the lost coin, the parable of the lost coin, like, oh, like, turn over everything in the house so we can find that one coin. This is going to mess with your theology a little bit, because here's what happens. The people of the region, they asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and he left. That's a head scratcher. I thought he was supposed to stay. And you know what? Eventually, I think there's a principle in this. If we block Jesus out of certain parts of our life and we say, you know what, stay out. You can have Sunday morning, but you don't get Super Saturday. You can have Sunday morning, but you don't get my internet. You can have Sunday morning, but you don't get my phone. You can have Sunday morning, but you don't get my service. You can have Sunday morning, but you don't get my money. My fear is that if the principle is true in this, that if we box him out eventually, he's like, okay, fine, then I'll stay out of it. Play that out. Jesus, you can have Sunday morning, you don't get my money. Fine, you want me to stay out of your money? I'll stay out of your money, but just know I got more than you do and I can bless that tenfold. You know what? You know, maybe you can play around in there. Well, Jesus, you can have my Sunday morning, but you don't get my relationship with my spouse. Really? Because I set up this whole thing that your relationship with your spouse, like, that is to honor me and to bring me glory. And I can bless that and do amazing things with that. But I guess if you don't want me to be a part of that, I guess I won't. Well, you know, maybe you can have that. There's this, it's weird, isn't it? Like, they tell him to stay out and he does. Somebody smarter than me is going to have to solve that one later. Okay, so let's move on. The man from whom the demons had gone out and begged to go with him. This guy who had been freed says to Jesus, hey, let me go. Let me go with you. One scholar I read this week said, it's likely that he was afraid because there were a lot of superstitious theology at this time. The thought was that this guy was almost potentially afraid that if he left Jesus's presence, that the demons were going to come back and inhabit him again. And so it was this superstition, like, Jesus, you're my lucky rabbit's foot, so I need to keep you close. So let's keep you close so that nothing bad happens again. When I was a kid, I accepted Jesus when I was 12 years old at Camp Adventure in North Webster. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. I remember being 19 years old. I remember telling a buddy, I was just going through some stuff in life. And I was like, I need to drive up to camp. He was like, what are you talking about? I was like, there's this camp in North Webster. I had an experience when I was a kid. I just need to drive up there and spend some time. Because in my mind, I thought like God lived in North Webster, like, apparently at the time, like, he lived at that church camp there. And I remember talking to this older, wiser guy in my life. He's like, why do you feel like you need to drive up there? I was like, well, that's where I had that experience. And if I could just recreate that and have that experience again. And he just, like, looked at me and he was like, no, like, you can if you want, but, like, he lives in you. Like, you have a relationship with him. It's not about a destination. It's about a relationship. It's not about like, oh, if I can just get to next Sunday, if I can get to church and then we can have that thing and I can sing that song, you know, if everything's just right, then poof, it all happens. There's not a superstition to it. He's not a lucky rabbit's foot. He's our Savior. He wants to live and indwell us and take over us. So this guy was like, hey, can I just go with you? But then Jesus sent him away saying, hey, go home and do this. Tell how much God has done for you. You have a home. No, I don't. Like, I've been living here. Now you do have a home. Go home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much God had done for him. The freedom that we've been given is not just for us. The freedom that God has given us isn't just for us. It's for us to share with others. It's for us to give away to others. It's not so that we can just come and then just sit in these holy huddles, which MP groups are good, but we need to do that to refill so that we can go out and show and share the love of Jesus. So we can come together and be encouraged so we can go out and hear other people's stories. To come together so that we can go out and tell his story. So we can come together and learn from one another's story and celebrate that and encourage one another so other people have their story changed. And that's what this guy did. We all are this. We are story stewards. That's what we are. We are stewards of our story. God has changed our story, reached in, altered our story, bumped our story, nudged our story. We all have a story, and we are story stewards. So the logical outcome of this message today would be, you have been given a story. Go tell people your story. That would be the logical outcome. But I'm the interim guy, and we're not going to follow the logic, because here's my fear. If we leave here, we get excited and we go out and run into people whose lives are all messed up, who are screwed up, who are hurting and broken, naked, alone, in graveyard kind of people. And we walk up to them and go, hey, I'm going to tell you my story. Are we following the template of the story that we just read? We're not. Jesus didn't walk up and tell his story. What's the question that he asked? What was the question that he asked? It was up on the screen. Pop quiz. It was up on the screen. What's the question that he asked? What's your name? He didn't lead with his story. He led with, I want to know about you. Will we share our story? Oh, we will. We're going to get there. Hang on several weeks in the series. We're going to share our story. But what if we just left here and look around us, have our radar up, see who's in our circle, and then just ask, hey, what's your story? Tell me your name. We've been working together for 2 years in this office. Are you married? You have kids? Like, I don't know anything about you, right? Tell me your story. Are you from here? Where'd you grow up? I love just the simple question. Hey, tell me your story. Sometimes people start it that morning. Oh, this day's been crazy. And you're like, oh, okay. And you hear part of that story. Some people go all the way like, I was born in Appalachia. I'm like, okay, we're going to be here a while, right? It's like, okay. Like, and but here's what I love about that. When they begin to tell you their story, they're starting with them and what's important to them. And you start to learn about them. And all of a sudden you're like, I like you more than I did yesterday. Wow, that's crazy. And you may even find your stories are related. This is crazy. We were sitting at a ball game a couple weeks ago, watching our daughter play volleyball. The lady sits down beside me and we're talking. And we had both like been at Camp Adventure at different times. I was like, what? We've been to how many of these volleyball games were sitting here? We both went to the same church camp as kids. Like, this is crazy. How's that happen? Because I just was like, hey, tell me about you. What's your story? Like, well, I don't know anything about you. And we just start talking. I'm like, whoa. We never know. And then like, who knows where all of those conversations go? So here's what I'm going to pray for, and we're going to close. We're going to end. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm not going to pray that we're share our story. I'm not telling you you can't share your story this week, okay? So don't like, well, he told me I couldn't talk about Jesus. Yes, you can. I'm not discouraging that. But what if we just had our radar up for people who need to be able to kind of let their story out? So I'm going to pray that God will haunt us and give us the radar this week for people that we can just ask the question, what's your story? And then he would put the right people in the right place, and that we would have the courage to just ask the question, what's your story? And see what God does this week. So that's what I'm going to pray. These guys are going to lead us in a song. And in that moment, as you're singing, I want you to just be thinking, where is it you live, learn, work, and play this week? And who is it that might need someone to just come along and ask, hey, what's your story? Because somebody probably needs that. God, I love you. Lord, we give this time to you. I pray that you would use this space that we're carving out. We're setting apart you as Lord. So as we carve out a space, Lord, I pray that you would just use it and then fill it. Fill it with maybe a face or a name or a location where we can just be ready to ask a question. And Lord, I also pray that we would just use this time to express our gratitude to you. Because if we've accepted you as our Savior, you have altered our story. You've changed our life. And Lord, we are grateful for that. So Lord, receive our praise. And may it never just be praise that stays here. May it go out. So show us how you want us to share your story this week. Put on the forefront of our minds the people who we need to hear their story.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.